From the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus went out along the sea. All the crowd came to him, and he taught them. As he passed by, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the customs post. Jesus said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed Jesus. While Jesus was at table in his house, many tax collectors and sinners sat with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. Some scribes who were Pharisees saw that Jesus was eating with sinners and tax collectors and said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus heard this and said to them, "Those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We come here today to pray for the repose of Marilyn's soul and the consolation of all who love, miss, and mourn her. We remember that the readings of every day that God gives us in the church are meant to strengthen us to believe in the whole mission Jesus came into this world to get us to share, which is the mission of saving us so that we might live forever. In the responsorial psalm today, we prayed, "Lord, in your strength, the king is glad." But we could substitute our own name for the king. In the Lord's strength, we can be glad. These times where we go through the most difficult experiences in human life, and there's nothing more difficult than seeing someone that we love suffer and be called home. No matter how many times people come up and express my deepest sympathies or my deepest condolences, no matter how many meals are prepared by friends and sent over to our house, no matter all the various things that God gives, it's not enough to take away the pain. We need God. But in the Lord's strength, and he will make us strong, he will come. In the Lord's strength, we can find that joy, we can find that gladness. Because ultimately, all the things that we could say about Marilyn, one of seven kids in a big, loving family, a mom of seven, grandmother of nine, friend of so many, good Catholic, all that we could say, that's small compared to this. When God the Father had a choice to let Marilyn or any of us die forever outside of him because of original sin, or to let Jesus be murdered on Calvary so that we might live, Jesus, in essence, loved Marilyn and loved us even more. And he didn't even spare his own son, but handed him over for us all so that we might never be separated from his love. In that strength, we can become glad even in the downpour of sorrow, because the good news of the resurrection does triumph over the sadness of the death of a loved one. The light will conquer the darkness if we choose to find our strength fundamentally in the Lord. Today's readings emphasize that essential point of the gospel. Today, Jesus went along preaching, and he saw a tax collector. The tax collectors in the Roman Empire, especially there in Palestine, were considered the most despicable people alive, almost like the heads of the local mafia, for two reasons. One, they were conspiring with the Romans, and second, they were betraying their own people. The way tax collectors collect taxes is they were given a quota for a particular area. Any money that they could get beyond that was theirs to keep. And they had the Roman soldiers to help them extort money from the people. It would be like in Hyannis, Massachusetts, when Senator Ted Kennedy's father, Joe, would go down all the stores on Main Street and say, "Listen, wouldn't it be a real tragedy if your store were to burn down? But we would be able to protect you. But we need a little bit of help in order to be able to do that, to basically extort money out of people." These were what the tax collectors themselves were doing to their own people for the Romans, and trying to collect coins with the emperor's face on it as a god. They were considered the worst of betrayers. And Jesus came, saw this tax collector. One of the other gospels tells us that he was the chief tax collector in the region, and said, "I want you to follow me. I want you to be mine. I want you to help advance my mission of salvation of sin, so that sinners might be reconciled and live forever." It's an unbelievable request. And yet, with so much money on the table, all that he had fought for, all that he had desired, Matthew, Levi was his Jewish name, Matthew was his Latin name, he got up immediately and he followed Jesus. A lot of the times the Lord calls us to leave things on the table in order to be able to follow him. The things that we sought in this world, sometimes we have to give up. For Matthew, it was getting rich. For other people, it might be getting famous or having power. For some of us, it might be occasionally our family. All of us have had to, in one way or the other, leave the typical relations we would have with family members, having the freedom to be there for every little event if we were calling all the shots on our own. Sometimes we have to leave our family because God intervenes and takes one of our family and gives them a vocation like ours, or gives them the vocation of vocations, which is the vocation to come and be with him. But regardless, we need to be prompt to be able to get up when Jesus says, "Follow me." But it's not just enough for us to be a disciple of Jesus, someone who follows him. The Lord wants to change us in following him so that we will collaborate with him in his mission. And that's the second half of today's gospel. Immediately after his conversion, Matthew didn't want to keep the joy of Jesus to himself. He didn't want to be the only one experiencing the Lord's strength, because he knew that there were many people in the same circumstance. So he got the other tax collectors together. He got the sinners. He got the prostitutes. He got them all, and threw a party so that they could meet Jesus. They probably wouldn't have come just to meet Jesus, because a lot of the times people think they're not worthy to be in the presence of somebody who's holy. But they would come for a party, and Matthew likely had a reputation for throwing good ones, so the whole house was full. But people saw the guest list, some scribes and the Pharisees. That whole word Pharisee means the separated ones. They wanted to stay as far as possible from contagion with sin and sinners. And they said, "How is it even possible that Jesus, with a reputation for goodness and holiness, how is it even possible that he would draw near to sinners, to tax collectors, these scumbags, these evil people? How could he draw near to them and all these other sinners?" Not remembering that they too were sinners. And when Jesus heard this, he gave us one of the most important things we have to remember in the entire gospel. He said, "Those who are well do not need a doctor, the sick do." And that he had come as the divine physician to heal our wounds and to call not the righteous but sinners. For us to have a vocation, it means that we're being called away from our sins. We're being called to go on an exodus with Jesus, that he is going to lead us from the slavery of sin into the freedom of the real children of God. So many others, we believe, would likewise have been brought to Jesus that day so that they might follow and continue that mission. Pope Francis, a couple years ago, in his most famous interview with Father Antonio Spadaro, He likened the entire church to a field hospital. We've got to heal the wounds, he said three times. Sana le ferite. Sana le ferite. Got to heal the wounds. And we're wounded most by sin. We're wounded most from the separation that sin does in us, between us and God and us with others. And the whole mission of the church is to continue as nurses of the divine physician, the healing of those wounds. It's a field hospital. What happens in a field hospital? Field hospital is different than the hospital right next door to us. Hospital right next door, ambulances bring people into the hospital. A field hospital is one in which medics have got to go out on the battlefield as somebody's been shot right down there on the field, and they've got to tend to them there. Church has got to go out and heal these wounds. But that's the whole mission of Jesus. He never stood still when he was here. He was constantly going out to find the wounded and heal them in such a way that they could be as cooperators to go out and find more wounded people, more people who need him, and bring them to himself. This is the strength that the Lord wants to give us, the strength ultimately of his mercy, that our sins are not the big story about us. Sins are actually a small part. The greatest thing is that God's mercy conquers our sins, and that some of the times, even through that experience of being forgiven, that we experience what an incredible Redeemer we have. The first reading today, we see another aspect of the great strength that God seeks to give us as Christians. It's this whole episode of the choosing of Saul to be the first king of God's people. And when Samuel found Saul, he did what? He anointed him. And he said, "The Lord anoints you to be the commander over his heritage." That anointing was something very small to the anointing every Catholic receives in confirmation, even to the anointings that a Catholic receives in baptism. Anointing comes from the word Mashiach in Hebrew and Christos in Greek. To be anointed means to be incorporated into Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a sign of the Holy Spirit. A lot of the times we don't take that anointing as seriously as we do, but St. Elizabeth of Portugal, the great 13th century Franciscan saint, who used to leave the castle without the king's permission to go care for the poor because he didn't have her same charitable heart. And so in order to be able to go out and do it without ticking off the king, she had to do it in disguise. She'd wear her maid's outfits as she would go and just do the simple tending of the poor. One day, somebody saw her there doing this type of service and was really deeply down. Didn't really believe in God's gifts. And so the queen said, "But don't you realize that God has come for you, come to save you? He sent the Holy Spirit to anoint you. Your anointing that you have received is even greater than the anointing that a queen receives." It starts to explain about the whole crown. That the crown is put on a king or a queen not as a sign of regality, but it's to protect the head that's been anointed with the chrism, the sacred chrism. It's to protect it, to keep it within. That's what it means. And you've been anointed with that power of God, and this person just didn't really believe. And so the queen said, "Come here tomorrow and I'll show you how valuable that anointing is." And she came back the following day with her royal crown and put it on that sad person's head to just emphasize the point. And the point is that God loves us so much that he gives us a mission just like he gave Saul a mission. The mission he gave to Saul was to be the commander over his heritage. The commission that the Lord has given us is to go out to the entire world and help him save it. Today we give great joy that Marilyn was someone who took that commission seriously. We wouldn't be having this Mass today if Marilyn were not a person of faith, whose faith was so important that she passed it on to her kids and to her grandkids. And we hope that when Marilyn met the Lord Jesus on November 24th, that the Lord would have been able to say to her what he made our ears in our mom's wombs one day to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant, good and faithful nurse, good and faithful commander, good and faithful disciple and apostle. Lord, in your strength, the King is glad. Today we come in order to receive the strength from God. Jesus knew that in our life, just like in the life of his own mother, there would be moments of great sadness. But he said, "Don't be afraid, I will be with you always until the end of time." And Jesus fulfilled that promise in giving us himself in the Holy Eucharist so that he could literally be with us always. And not just on the outside of us, but in the inside of us. And whenever we receive Jesus, we remember that we're receiving the one whose very name means God saves. How important the Eucharist is for eternal life, Jesus described in the synagogue of Capernaum when he said, "The one who gnaws on my flesh and drinks my blood will live forever, and I will raise him on the last day." Marilyn was someone who took this truth about Jesus in the Eucharist seriously. She came and she ate him. And today, as we receive that same Jesus in Holy Communion, we ask him to fulfill the promise contained in those words, to take Marilyn to the eternal wedding banquet with St. Matthew and all the saints and apostles, and one day, through his grace, to bring us to that same eternal feast. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.